verse 1. Proverbs 14, 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Let's pray. Father, help us now this evening. Give us liberty to preach, wisdom to preach. I pray, oh God, that our folks would listen and hear and be admonished and instructed out of thy word, that our ladies might be wise, that they might be wise unto godliness. We'd thank you and praise you for that. Now, Lord, we pray especially for Sister Geraldine Rose this evening. Lord, we don't know what's wrong with her, but we know there's something wrong with her. And I pray that you'd be merciful to her. And Lord, help her to find a wise doctor and a skillful doctor. They might find out and fix this problem. I pray be gracious to her and merciful to her. We'll thank you and praise you for it. Thank you, Lord, for Sister Hodge and Lord, her quick recovery. That's been a real blessing to us. We thank you for that. Pray that you'd watch over Brother Lewis on the road tonight. Probably listening to bad preaching and on the radio. And I pray, Lord God, that you might find something he can get a blessing from and encourage him in the things of God. Help him this week to get that thing done, get back home to his family, to his wife, where he belongs. And Lord God, we'll thank you for all of that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now look at the verse. The verse in and of itself is pretty simple. But a lot of times I found that simple things embody great truths. And what appears to be little or nothing on the surface, once you stop to think about it and examine it somewhat, you find out that, boy, that little sentence just covered an incredible amount of territory. And this is one of those verses. And it is so simple and straightforward in its presentation. It said, every wise woman buildeth her house. Well, you'd think that anybody would know that, you know. A lady has a home, has a household. If she got any sense at all, then she'll try and strengthen it or build it up. But the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. And so the idea is very simple. If you have a household, if you have a home, then you're a fool to do anything to destroy it or weaken it or pull it down. So on the face of it, it's very simple, very straightforward. Yet, if you look at what does it mean to build it up? The wise woman buildeth her house. She constructs it. She superintends it. She builds it. She enhances it. She strengthens it. And what kind of things can she do to accomplish that end? What can a wise woman do to make her home better, more secure, stronger, more lasting? Obvious from the verse that there's something she can do to make that thing last and to withstand the trials and tribulations and troubles that come with living. And if she's wise, she will labor to that end. If she's foolish, then she either does deliberately those things that will destroy a home, or if she's foolish, maybe she just doesn't do anything at all. She doesn't do anything to tear it down, but she doesn't do anything to strengthen it either, in which case it will fall down. You may have noticed that in life, things that are left to themselves fall apart. I don't care what it is. Take a house, build it, paint it, fix it up. It's all brand new. It looks lovely. Everything works. Just move off and leave it and let it sit there for about 5 or 6 years. You don't have to burn it or torch it. You don't have to do anything to it. Just let it sit. Come back in 5 or 6 years and you'll find sheetrock cracked, boards warped and twisted, paint faded and cracked, plumbing leaking. And you'll say, man, it'll take $10,000 to fix this place up and get it fit to live in again. And the only thing that was done to it was neglected. Take any piece of machinery, and let it set up and just leave it. Come back in several months or several years and try to start it up and put it in operation, and I guarantee you're going to find the tires went flat, the oil leaked out, the battery died, something corroded, something got stuck. And before you get that thing back in operation and get everything working, you're going to spend time and trouble making repairs. Because everything left to itself falls apart. That's just the law of our universe. How anybody could believe that anything left to itself would get bigger and better is a mystery to me.
Amen.
I don't have an evolutionary bone in my body. It's the most asinine, absurd thing I ever heard of in my life. There is not one single demonstrable piece of evidence known to mankind where anything in this universe, when left completely alone, ever gets better. Amen. Your marriage won't get better if left to itself. Your children won't get better if they're left to themselves. If everything in our world requires labor to make it work right, to make it last. That's the physical and the material, as well as the spiritual. It applies to marriages just like it applies to business, just like it applies to a church. If you don't put some work into it, it'll fall apart. It just won't last. People have the idea for some reason that we're in love and we got married and we're just going to live happily ever after. No, you won't if you don't work at it. You say, oh, well, I just love her with all my heart and just whatever it takes to make her happy. Well, listen to me, sport. In a little while, you're going to want her to make you happy. Amen. I had a fellow tell me one time, he was proposing to my daughter, and he said, I don't want anything out of life but to make her happy. I thought, BS. You don't want to just make her happy. You want her to make you happy. Anybody don't think marriage is a two-way street hasn't thought about anything. Amen? He wants to make her happy if she makes him happy.
Amen.
Now, so I want to talk in particular to the ladies tonight how to be a wise woman. Now, this wisdom involves doing those things that will make your home a better place, that will make your marriage stronger, that will help you raise your children for God and help you personally to be the kind of Christian lady with the kind of Christian character that God would approve of. Now, that's the only kind of women I'm interested in. The world has got almost any kind of woman you can look for. You go down to the supermarket and stand in the checkout, and you can see the little tabloids in the magazines, and they got every kind of sleazy-looking little thing you can imagine on there. And some of them have great form. That is, they are attractive to the eye, and they are dressed provocatively to attract you to look at them and to linger looking at them. But when you read the stories about them, they don't have any character. They don't have any morals. They don't have any goals. They don't have any peace. Their personal lives and their families are always in shattered. They're always in shambles. That's not the kind of life I'm looking for. That's not the kind of woman most men are looking for. They might like to look at them, but they wouldn't want to spend their life with them. Amen? So the kind men want are the kind that they can count on, the kind that are dependable, the kind that will stick with them through the rough times. And so I want to talk to you tonight about using a little wisdom to build up your home and to build your house or to build your household. Now, in Proverbs chapter 14, in verse 1, there's a passage there. Proverbs 31, 14, there's a passage there that talks about a lady in her role as a homemaker. Now we live in a day and age where we have career women. It seems like all the women want to have a job outside the home. Now, I have problems with that. That's not where God intended for you to be. God intended for you to be in the home. I understand where we're at. I know how far down the road we are. I know nothing is like God intended. I know we're in a mess, and it's virtually impossible these days to do it the way God intended. I understand that. But that doesn't change the fact that's the way God intended it to be. God wanted a man to get out and make a living, and a woman stay home and take care of the house. And women used to put down, when it says occupation, they would write homemaker. What an honor. Here is a lady who is entrusted with the preservation, the utilization of all of a man's assets and resources. His home, his money, his children, all that is entrusted to that lady. After all, he's not in the house, he is out of the house. He's not there to clean it and take care of it. He doesn't know when this needs to be done and that needs to be done. He doesn't know when you need to buy groceries and what kind of groceries. He doesn't spend 8 hours a day with them little rugrats, teaching them and training them and teaching them to talk and dress themselves and say yes ma'am and no ma'am. He's off with the job. And he has entrusted all that is important to him in this world to the wife, to the woman of the house. Now, if she's smart, she'll strengthen that. She'll build that. In Proverbs 31, it talks about this woman, and it lists a number of attributes or characteristics about this woman that make her desirable to any man. I don't care who the guy is. Any man that is anything other than just a whoremonger would love to have a wife like this. What does it say about her? Well, in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 11, it shows that she is trustworthy. Matter of fact, turn over to Proverbs 31 for a minute. We'll just read through there. Rather than just tell you, we'll let you look at it because it's, to me, it's exciting to read. Proverbs 31, excuse me, and start in verse 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Her husband can trust in her, and nothing that she does is going to be of damage to him. She's not going to ruin his reputation. She's not going to dishonor him. She's not going to bring shame on him. She's going to take care of his money. She's going to be faithful to him. She's going to be his representative. She ought to be his very best ambassador. She's going to raise and train his children, take care of his house, and manage his money. The heart of her husband doth safely trust. Ladies, if you're wise, you will conduct yourself so that your husband has absolute, total, implicit confidence that you will do whatever is best for him and the family. Amen. You don't ever keep things from him. You don't hide things from him. You don't cheat him. You don't manipulate him. You don't do things that are underhanded. You're not manipulative and controlling. You do those things so that your husband, if he has to go out of town tomorrow, he's not going to worry about where you're at. He is not going to worry about what you do. He is not going to worry about what you spend. He is not going to worry about the safety of his children. His heart doth safely trust. Now, people say, well, I'm his wife. He ought to trust me. No, you have to earn that. I don't know anything in life that comes for free. I'm 63 years old, and everything I ever got, I had to work for. And that includes people's respect. That includes people's trust. You have to earn it. Amen. You have to live a life. You have to conduct yourself in such a way that people develop a trust for you. And when you get married and you're young, I know you're in love and all this, that, and the other, but trust and love aren't the same thing. So now how do you know that? Because they're not spelled the same. Amen. And so, ladies, you make sure you work at it, you labor at it, to never do anything that would cause your husband to doubt or question your intentions, your motives, your mission, your conduct. You want to develop over a period of years an absolute trust in that man. so that he could leave his checkbook with you, he can leave his children with you, he can leave his reputation with you, and not have to worry. He can go off tomorrow and be gone for 6 months and sleep like a baby every single night because his heart doth safely trust in the little lady he left back at home. Now look there in Proverbs 31, on verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night, giveth meat to her household, a portion to her maidens. Well, now, one of the characteristics of a wise woman is she's not lazy. It's bad, it's dumb, it's not wise when women expect a man to get up and go out and go to work and make a living, to put a roof over your head, clothes on your back, and food in your belly, and then they just want to lay around all day. Marriage is a partnership, in a sense. It's a merger, in a sense. It's a commitment one to the other. It's a sharing of a life. It's a sharing of a goal. It's a sharing of a purpose. And it's a sharing of duties and responsibilities. Our roles are not exactly the same, yet there are similarities. There are certain things required of me and expected of me as the husband and as the head of the house. When I take a wife, I assume responsibility for her maintenance and well-being, physically, mentally, and spiritually. And if we have children, if she gives me offspring, I am obligated to do certain things for them. That's my function, that's my duty, that's my responsibility as the head of the house, as the man, as the breadwinner. But ladies, you also have duties, you also have responsibilities to your husband and to your children if you have any. And your responsibilities are going to require you to work and to labor. There's no such thing as a free lunch. There's no such thing as a free ride. And you don't get to lay around in bed all day and eat bonbons and watch Oprah. You need to get up and clean that man's house, dress his children, teach them and train them, cook the meals, be a responsible representative for him. All those things are your duties. It is your job in life to make your husband look as good as you can. It's your job in life, it's your position in life to work. Now, it's not necessarily going out 9 to 5 or whatever the hours are. Matter of fact, most ladies would love to get off of the 9 to 5. Amen. Usually the lady is the first one up and the last one in bed. Especially if you've got kids. I mean, she gets up, puts on the coffee, gets things going before she ever wakes you up. And you go in and shower and brush your teeth and all that and shave and come in and the coffee's ready, breakfast is ready, your lunch is packed, she gets you off to work. He said, not in my house. Well, that's the way it ought to be. Amen. Now, I know, you say, well, I work a job just like he does. Yeah, that's all messed up, ain't it? It's just not supposed to be like that. I understand you can't hardly live on one income. I understand all that stuff. I read the papers. I keep up what's going on. But that ain't the way it's supposed to be. Ain't the way it's supposed to be. You ladies were designed to take care of a man, not a company. You ladies were designed to take care of a family, not a country. In my never-to-be-so-humble opinion, you ladies got no business being in politics. You got no business being CEOs of company. You got no place in the military. Amen. The idea of seeing ladies on the battlefield getting their arms and legs blown off, just appalling to me. That's a man thing. Amen. Has been for 6,000 years, as long as man's been here. Now we want to put the women out and get them all hacked up. We're just crazy. Anyway, I'm not going to get off on that. So this lady is not only trustworthy and does him good, she's not lazy. I hear men complain all the time about they got up and went to work this morning, they come home, the breakfast dishes or the supper dishes from last night still in the sink. And the house is a wreck. And if you go visit, if you said, I'm going to go home here this afternoon and pick up so-and-so, he'd be embarrassed to take you in his house. And you get there, and the wife said, oh, you're going to have to excuse the house. I've been real busy today, and I didn't get it cleaned up. And you look at it, it ain't been cleaned in years. I mean, all them cobwebs and all them black lines along the wall where it ain't been vacuumed, and all that clutter didn't happen overnight. I mean, you can't fool me. You ain't no housekeeper. Amen. You've been goofing off doing something. You ought to get up, take care of that husband, and when you get him out the door, clean that house. Clean it. Don't swipe at it. Bless God, clean it. If he happens to come home this afternoon and bring some of his friends, he ought not to be embarrassed to invite them into a pigsty. Amen. I hear guys complain all the time, you know, they come home and the dishes aren't done, the house not cleaned up, and the wife looks just like she did when he left this morning. Now, I'm going to get to this in a minute in another section, but clean up. Fix up. I mean, you had 8-9 hours. You should have brushed your teeth. Should have combed your hair. Should have put on a little lipstick. A little Estee Lauder or something. Wouldn't hurt none either. Somebody say amen. She's not lazy. Then if you look there in Proverbs 31, you'll find not only is she trustworthy and not lazy. Look at verse 16. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. Now this woman's industrious. And she's not stupid. She's concerned about money and finances. Amen. I've been around long enough, been married long enough, and counseled long enough, and worked with people long enough to understand that sometimes the man ain't got a lick of money sense. But a lot of times the woman ain't got a lick of money sense. Now, you got a real problem when neither one got a lick of money sense. And I know a bunch of them. I don't know how they get by because ain't neither one got a dime's worth of sense. They just impulsively buy everything under the sun. And they're in hock right up to here. See? And that credit, maybe that's a hole you just almost can't get out of. If you can't pay for it, don't buy it. Somebody say amen. But anyway, this lady understands how to use money. You need to find somebody in that marriage that can handle the money. If that's the man, okay. If that's the lady, okay. I know a fella that ain't got a dime's worth of money since. He makes a lot of money, but he spends it faster than he makes it. And his family, I mean, they're not doing without. They're not suffering, but they could have a lot more, and they could have money in the bank. If he quit spending as fast as it comes in, he's got to have every new toy and every new gadget that comes down the highway. Now, his wife's got good common sense with money. But this fellow's a Christian, and he thinks he's the head of the house, and he doesn't need to burden the wife with the responsibility of the finances. I told him one time, I said, you burden her with worrying about the unpaid bills. I don't see any advantage, do you? If you'd let her handle it, you'd have money. Now, I can handle money. I'm pretty good with it. I buy stuff, but I can hang on to a dollar. But I'm just, my wife's giving money. And I tell her, you know, sometimes she gets tired of doing it. I said, if you want me to take care of finances, I will. You know, but for 36 years, she's done it. 46 years, she's done it. And I've never had a done or a late charge or anything in my whole married life. See why? Because she can manage money. And I can trust her with it. Amen. But you better find out somebody in there that can. And ladies, if you have a problem with it, you need to work at it. A wise woman buildeth her house. If you got a weakness or a shortcoming, don't just say, well, that's just the way I am. I'm sick and tired of hearing that. What a cop out. People got some problem in their life that causes other people trouble. And when you say something to them and say, well, that's just the way I am. Well, that ain't no excuse. That's just the way I am. Fix it. Work at it. And then you can say, now this is the way I am. I changed me. I fixed me. I had a flaw. And look, I fixed the flaw. That's just the way I am. That's just a cop out for being lazy. That's all that is. Amen. How come we expect our mate to change, but we don't ever think it ought to be us? So this lady's a hard worker. She's got a little common sense, a little money sense. Then down in verse 20, if you look down in verse 20, where's that at? That's over here. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. There's a lady that's got compassion. Now she cares about her own family, and she got good common sense, and she doesn't waste her husband's money and his resources. He works hard for them, so she manages them well. Yet she's got a little compassion for somebody outside her immediate family. You know, God's method of taking care of the less fortunate and the have-nots is for those who have to share what they've got. Amen? We've gotten away from that. You know, we don't want to give anybody anything anymore. And I know if hobos and stuff come by anymore, it's kind of dangerous. It's not like it used to be. Used to, a hobo would stop by and all he wanted was a bite to eat. Nowadays, you got to worry about him killing you or something, you know, because you live in a whacked-out society. But when I was a boy, old hobos and tramps and stuff would come by the house, and my mama would go in, get a bowl of beans and a big old chunk of cornbread, and she wouldn't invite them in the house, but she'd set them down out there on the back porch. Or under, we had a big old chinaberry tree, if y'all know what that is, out in the backyard, and she'd get them a cold glass of water, a big old bowl of beans and some cornbread, and give them a bite to eat. And they'd eat and go on their way. You say, why? Well, but Daddy didn't tell her to. That's just, she was a compassionate woman, a caring woman. And she took care of the less fortunate. God wants us to be that way. The Bible said over in the New Testament, remember the poor. And so this lady, while she's concerned about her own home and is trying to strengthen it and build it up, it doesn't mean she's cut off all of her compassion and concern and care for other people. She still cares about them. I'll tell you what, that lady in Proverbs 31 is quite a lady. Amen. I don't know anybody in the world that wouldn't want to marry somebody like that. Of course, let me digress for a minute. I'll leave the outline for a second. In our day and age, they've got to be a certain height and have a certain figure. They've got to have the right bosoms, and they got to show the right amount of cleavage, and they got to learn how to be coy, and then we call them sexy. And nobody wants to marry any girl that's not sexy. Now, sexy ought to be synonymous with slutty. You know, there's no guarantee in the world that just because a girl is physically attractive that she's going to make a good wife. Did you know that a lot of them real pretty girls are real nasty disposition? Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what kind of pretty face you marry. I don't care what kind of pretty body you marry. It ain't going to stay that way. You just wait till they've had two or three little old youngins. Look at that little pop gut jump up there, buddy. You wait till they get about 35, 40 and watch them pounds start piling up. You think we're going to be 16, 17, 18 and shapely and all that stuff till Jesus comes? You living in never, never land, son. And then this moron, because she puts on a few pounds, she got a little belly on her now, you know, and the backside's getting a little heavy. He got to go find him a 20-year-old. Hey, sport, I bet you put on. When I got married, I weighed 128 pounds. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I know I have a very neat, very compact 200 here. But I ain't the hunk I used to be either. I never can figure out why we expect women to bear our children and all that, and put on the age, and yet manage to stay like they were when they were 17, 18 when we married them. They just, you live in a whacked out world. How about finding a woman, and I know I'm digressing, but my message, I can mess it if I want to. How about looking for one that's got some personality? How about finding one that's got some character? There's an old song that says, if you want to be happy for the rest of your life, make an ugly woman your wife. Now, I don't know if that's necessarily true or not, but just because she's not the beauty queen, Doesn't mean she won't make a good wife and a good mother. Amen. We want all the women in the world to be shapely and sexy and weigh 115 pounds. Well, I'm here to tell you something. Them old girls that weigh 175 and 200 and 225, they need loving too. Amen. And some of them make real good wives. Faithful, dependable. I was talking to a fellow about a girl today, and I said, she's kind of big. But she's got a real good personality and a great sense of humor. If I was looking for a wife, that's the kind I'd be looking for. Amen? Oh, not me. I got to have a little slim blonde. Yeah, well, you have all the heartache goes with it too, buddy. Thank you. That's off the record there. Where was I at? She's kind-hearted. In verse 22 through 24, she has a sense of value. In verse 25, she can control her tongue. Boy, that's a good verse. Look down at 25. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. I tell you what, a woman that can control her mouth is a blessing from above. Amen? You ever get around women, and they seem to have one of two problems. They can't button their lip, and they tell everything under the sun. They're absolutely without discretion. My mother-in-law used to say, oh, so-and-so will tell her guts. I guess that's an old Southern saying. And what she meant by that was, if you talk to that lady for 30 minutes, she'd tell you everything's going on in her life. All her personal problems, all her medical problems, all her family problems. It's a real blessing to have a lady that knows when to keep her mouth shut. Truth is, you don't need to know all my business. And I don't need to know all yours. I don't want to know what you... I'm sure Brother Steve and Sister Judy never fuss. I mean, they just look like an angelic couple. But she's got that look. I bet she could fire up. Well, I don't want to know about it, okay? Y'all want to know every time me and my wife get into a little tiff? I tell you, last night, buddy. There's some, you know, but some women, I mean, they're without discretion. They'll talk about anything. They'll talk about anything to anybody. Thank God for a wife that's got enough discretion, enough common sense to know when to keep her mouth shut. Amen. Amen. You ever think about it? You know, you run around and run your mouth about things that are personal and private. I don't mean they're secret, but some things are personal. Amen? Some things are private. And they ought to stay that way. And when the woman runs around and runs her mouth about all that stuff, half the people in the church have got a bad opinion of her husband. They might well have thought well of him if she'd kept her mouth shut. And, of course, they never stopped to think that she told all them stories from her perspective. And that everything she said was slanted her way. I tell you what, when I rant and rave on somebody, I tell it the way I want it to be. And so do you. Amen? So this lady knows how to control her tongue. Gentlemen, if you got a lady that knows how to watch her mouth, you got a real blessing from heaven. Verse 27, her house is her world. Now, who in the world wouldn't want to marry a woman like that? I wouldn't care if she wasn't a beauty queen. I wouldn't care if she was a little heavy. If I could find that kind of character, that kind of integrity, a woman who put me first and her whole world revolved around me and our children and our household, and she worked and labored to make it the best she could. I'll tell you what, buddy, I think that'd be a find of a lifetime. Amen? So first thing, ladies, if you're wise, you build your house. And that is the household. You take care of your household. Second thing is this. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 7. I want to show you something. The Bible is full of positives and negatives. And a lot of times you can learn more from the negative than you get from the positive. That's the way I, reason I preach the way I do a lot of time. So I want you to turn over to Proverbs chapter 7 and read this with me. Look in verse 7, Proverbs 7, 7. And beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. He's talking about a dummy here. This guy ain't got the sense God gave a brass monkey. Passing through the street, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle in heart. Ladies, men form opinions about you by the way you dress.
Amen. Amen.
Whether you like it or not. It said she had on the attire of an harlot. She looked like a streetwalker. Amen. If you want to be treated like a lady, learn to dress like a lady. You want people to think you're a godly woman, dress like a godly woman. Amen. Cover up your nakedness. Amen. Walk right. Sit like you should. Sit like a lady. Walk like a lady. Dress like a lady. Behave like a lady. And whether you are or not, everybody will think you are. Amen. But this woman was dressed like an harlot. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. She caught him and kissed him. And with an impotent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore, that means she was purified from her uncleanness. The monthly thing was over. Where am I at? Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face. I have found thee. I decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love into the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. Verse 21. With much fair speech she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of stocks. They said, why in the world did you read us that? Because you ladies could learn something from that. You say, well, that's a wicked woman. She's cheating on her husband. She's out having an intimate affair with a stranger. She's just an harlot. That's exactly right. Now learn something from her. She knew everything that man was interested in. She knew how to dress. She knew how to talk. She knew how to look. She knew how to set the stage. She made him feel like he was the only guy on the planet. She flattered him. She talked to him. She knew how to talk to a man and turn his head. And with her much fair speech, look at the word they used. She forced him. She put so much pressure on him with her sexuality that he couldn't refuse. And he went after her like an ox to the slaughter. She just took him by the nose and led him around. He said, well, I'm not a harlot and I'm not going to... Ladies... Let me tell you something, and listen to me carefully. Queen Victoria of England, and anybody that is prim and proper, is say they got their conduct, their morals, this, that, and the other, from the Victorian age. She so influenced a whole society with her purity and her dress and all that. If you do something that's above normal, they say they're Victorian in their attitude or this, that, and the other. Okay? Queen Victoria, it's reported, she said, I don't know that she said this, but I've read it in several places. It's quoted or reported that Queen Victoria once said, every woman should be the perfect, consummate lady in public and the epitome of a whore in bed. I thought that's a very wise woman. In your public life, walk gracefully, walk charming, dress right, learn how to sit, wear clothes that don't expose you and reveal too much of you. Learn to sit so that you don't embarrass yourself, talk like a lady, walk like a lady, dress like a lady, get treated like a lady. But if you got a husband, men are carnal creatures. And there is a part of our marriage, a part of our life, that is personal, private, and intimate. And if it becomes mundane or boring or restricted or refused, many a man has gone looking somewhere else. Don't be that stupid. Now, this lady figured out what men like. This lady figured out what it took to overcome his resistance. This lady figured out what it took to make him feel like the man. And she used all of that to seduce him. Why in the world would a wife be any dumber? Learn your husband. Find out what he likes. As long as it's moral and honest and it doesn't do damage, if it doesn't hurt or embarrass, indulge your husband. I don't believe he's talking like that. Oh, son. Why in the world people want to take one of the biggest parts of their marriage and never talk about it? Why do we get all flabbergasted? I know a young man right now, he's not too young anymore, but he can't talk to his sons about their changing bodies. They're reaching their teenage years, and this guy's embarrassed to talk to them. What a shame. What a shame. If he doesn't, somebody else will. What's evil about it? What is so embarrassing about it? Everybody in this room falls into one of two categories, male or female. All the males are pretty much alike, and all the females are pretty much alike. And we're all going to grow up and develop and reach puberty and develop, and we're going to go from little boys and little girls to men and women. And men and women, unless they're perverts, do the same things. It's a normal, natural, healthy part of life. Why in the world then are we embarrassed and ashamed and red in the face to talk about it? I'd rather we talk about it to our young people than the perverts do, or the weirdos, or the people who are just trying to use them and take advantage of them. If mamas and daddies would just, I must say, you don't have to be rude and crude. There are proper words. There are right ways to say things. Now, I've been talking about that intimate relationship, what, for 7 or 8 minutes? I haven't used one street word. Is there anybody here that doesn't know what I'm talking about? Of course not. And you can do the same thing with your children. There's a way. There's a language. There's words. We use them. If you don't know them, learn them. At least you'll give them the right insight and the right perspective. Amen? I don't know how I got off on all that. Where did that come from? Oh, we're talking about this lady learning to take care of her husband. If you're wise, you'll do that. If you're not wise, you're a fool, you'll say, not tonight, I've got a headache. Once a quarter's enough for anybody. Well, it's not. Ladies, be wise. Men are not laid like ladies. Our appetites are different. The things that motivate us and inspire us are different. Men get motivated and inspired just by looking. Or the sound of a word, the sound of a voice, or the touch of a hand, and they're ready to go. Doesn't take a whole lot. He's the dog. That's just the way they are. You better learn that. You better learn yours. You better take care of him. If you don't, you'll live to regret it. It's down the road someplace. Now, he may not run off. He may not divorce you. But the marriage will fall apart, and there'll be a coldness and a deadness in your marriage where there used to be love and joy and closeness. Because when he gets turned down and frustrated, even though he may not cheat on you, it's going to kill something. Don't do that to yourself. Be wise. Be wise. Be wise. In Proverbs chapter 7, if you look at that thing, in verse 15, she makes him think he's the only guy on the planet. She talked to him. She talked to him about what he was interested in. A lot of wives may submit, but they don't participate. It's not the same thing. Verse 16, she used special settings. Verse 17, she had perfumes. She used her femininity. She used odors to make it special. She made it obvious that she desired him, that she wanted him. Verse 21, she sweet-talked him. Pillow talk. Verse 22, he's like an ox to the slaughter. That woman done won that fella's heart, mind, body, soul, and energy. She got him. She won. She's in charge. Now the harlot did that. Why don't wives do that? Then men wouldn't be with the harlots. Amen? Don't let that part of your marriage, be wise, don't let that part of your marriage die. Don't let it decay. Third thing about being wise. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, a good wife, a wise woman, is a helpful mother. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20, the Bible said, "Forsake not the law of thy mother." In Proverbs 31:1, it said the prophecy that his mother taught him. Those verses are talking about this. They're talking about a good woman, a wise woman, training her children. You're the ones with them. A lot more than daddy is. You know, we all complain about young people these days don't have any manners. They're rude and crude and socially unacceptable. They don't know how to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. They constantly butt into adult conversations. They're rude when company comes. I go places all the time. You ring the doorbell, some kid comes to the door, opens the door, looks at you, turns around, walks off. Used to, they'd have said, my mom or dad's not home, or wait a minute, I'll get my mama. Now they just look at you and leave. You go places, how many times you've been in the grocery store, the drug store, anywhere, and kids are running all over, running, literally running all over the place. And you just want to trip the little reprobates. Or when's the last time you were talking to an adult and the kids come flying in and just butt right into the conversation? Or you'll be standing there and instead of going around you, they want to go between you. They haven't been taught anything. They don't have any manners. They're rude. And you can't fault them completely because nobody taught them. If you want a dog to do something special, you have to train it. And if you want your children to do certain things, you have to train them. Well, the trainer, for the most part, is mama. Let me tell you something. If kids don't say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, I'm going to tell you whose fault it is. Mama's fault. If a girl is 15, 16 years old, 17, 18, and starting to date, and of course down the road you're going to look at getting married, and she doesn't know how to cook, let me tell you whose fault that is. That's mama's fault. You know why that's mama's fault? Because she's too lazy to teach her to cook. You know why she's too lazy? Because it was easier to do it herself than make the kid do it and do it right. And if she messed it up, do it over. You know why little old girls don't know how to clean house? Well, you know why they don't know how to take care of babies? Because mama did it all, and that little girl grew up, and nobody ever taught her nothing. Now she's going to get married, and she's got to take care of a husband, and she ain't got a clue in this world. Ain't got a clue. And you know what they're going to do the first two or three years, if they make it? They're going to fuss and fight like dogs. Because she thought you could go out to eat every night. She didn't know you had to cook. Amen. It's just him buying her birthday presents and anniversary presents and going out to dinner. What's all this having babies and pain and being broke and spending your last dollar on diapers instead of Pepsis? You see a Jordan there? Jordan's 25 now, 26 now. 14. Jordan's mama ought not to do nothing at home. Jordan ought to be doing all the dishes and the clothes and the house cleaning. You know what Sister Nathalie ought to be doing? I hope I ain't getting you in a lot of trouble. Oh, well, if I am, get mad at me. She ought to be teaching her. Or be going behind her and say, no, you didn't do this right. Let me show you how it's done. Teach them. If you're wise, you do that. We teach our children. Boys need to know how to make up a bed and empty the garbage and cut the grass. And when they half do it, you make them go back and do it over. Instead of saying, oh, let me do that. I'm just tired of messing with you. I don't teach them nothing. That teaches them if they goof off, somebody will pick up the slack for them. That's all they learn from that. Amen? When a girl gets old enough to start dating, she ought to be old enough to start being a wife, because that's the next step. And a wife ought to know how to clean a house and take care of babies and cook meals and wash dishes and do all those other domestic things that a wife is supposed to do while the husband is out making a living. Amen? If you've got two or three teenage kids at home, daddy don't cut no grass, and boys cut that grass. And daddy don't wash the car, and boys wash the car. I don't want to. Nobody asked you what you wanted. Get your butt over there and get it done. And if it ain't done right, one, I put this foot where the sun don't shine. Two, you do it over anyway. Amen, amen, and amen. Children do what you make them do. So if you're a wise woman and you're building your household, you teach those children to do those things that are going to be required of them when they become adults. They're not going to stay children forever. Matter of fact, from the time they turn about 13 to 19 is about that long. And from the time they start dating till they get married, from 16 to 18 or 19, is just a click of your fingers. You better teach them while you can. Then, last but not least, if you're a wise woman, you're an honorable Christian. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also." You know what that lady did? She transferred her faith from herself to her children. Grandmama, mama, the next generation, three generations. "That dwelt first in thy grandmother and in thy mother, and I am persuaded in thee." The wisest thing a lady ever did was live a life that would lead her children to follow in her footsteps, following God. If they fail at everything, if they never make a dime, if they get saved and live their life for God, you are a success. Now, they may get rich and famous and die and go to hell and have a lot of worldly popularity, and people pat you on the back and say, "Boy, I wish I had a son like that. I wish I had a girl like that. I don't wish I had one that was lost and on her way to hell."
Amen.
Amen. Let me tell you, ladies, best thing you can do, you take care of that husband, take care of that house, teach and train them children, but then you set that godly example. You know what the Bible said about a woman and her husband? Over there in the New Testament, it said, ladies, to live a certain way, that you might win your husbands through your chaste conversation. You are to live your life in such a way as to be an inspiration to your children and to your husband. Women who have lost husbands ought to bring them to God over a period of time. As that man watches her day in and day out, her faithfulness, her zealousness, her love, her compassion for Jesus Christ wins his heart. She is such a wife. She is such a trustworthy partner. She is such a good mother. She is such a good domestic. She takes care of the house. He finds no fault in her. And she is so different from what he sees other places that her chaste conversation persuades him that her religion is real. She wins him to God by her life. What greater honor could you have than for God to look at you and say, you live the life, you set the example, you were faithful day in and day out, and because of your life and your conduct and your faithfulness, your husband and your children came to Christ. Well, I'd have them say that about me. Now, ladies, being a wise woman is not an easy thing. Doing right is never easy. You ever notice that? It just seems unfair sometimes that doing wrong comes so easy and doing right is so hard. But it sure is, man. It's just the easiest thing in the world to do bad. It's easy to do wrong. I don't know what it is about it, but it's just easy to do. But boy, it's tough sometimes doing the right thing. Doing the right thing, sometimes you've got to take it in the neck. I mean, you're not going to win any friends. You're not going to win any popularity. It's going to cost you time and money and this, that, and that. Doing right is a pain. But doing right is worthwhile. And being a wise woman about how you conduct yourself and how you influence your husband and your children and those round about you, it may be hard. And there'd be times you grow weary and you maybe need to get off someplace and just let it all out and whine and cry to God. But it's worth it. You know what it said about that lady in Proverbs 31 right down at the end of the chapter? After it said all those things she does, it said, and her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also. Now, if God called you, ladies, to be a wife and a mother, you're designed for that physically, you're designed for that emotionally, you're designed for that psychologically, you're equipped for that job. If you do that job like you ought to, and one of these days the Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You did what God created you to do. There's no greater fulfillment in life than that. There's none. That's as good as it gets. And yet so many miss it, looking for fun, looking for worldly possessions, looking for personal freedom and liberty. They don't want to be a man's wife. They want to be his equal. If we could just find God's niche and get in it and do what God designed us and programmed us to do, what a difference it would make in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy.